Blog Talk Radio.
Lost breath.
Your innocence gone and your fears coming true. How did you end up like this, feeling so lost? Like your life is in pieces, too broken to fix. And shame's got you tied to a weight you can't lift. But the biggest mistake that you made isn't too big.
About Jesus once again, ready to talk about the Lord.
Me too, man. That was a nice picture we took today, man. That's the first picture we got to took together for the show like that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, everybody get to see who's talking to them now, right?
That's right. I know there's a lot of us ain't really had a whole lot of pictures put on the show, and I know Jacob, he had his picture put on his show when we did an interview with him, and everybody saw my picture on my Facebook account and all that, but I don't think I've really had a picture of myself on the show either, just, you know, different clippings of things, but now you get to see what I look like and what Robert looks like, and we was all ready to rock and roll tonight, talking about sin tonight, and one thing I was wanting to get straight before we get into this, we're not pointing fingers at anybody's sin. We're by no means doing that, because the Jews did that to Jesus and to a lot of people, and Jesus came to clear that. Through Jesus Christ, our sins are cleansed. That's one thing I really want to point at. But I was wanting to go to Galatians 3, and go down to 21. I found that here a while ago when I was searching the word. It says, the purpose of the law. Does this mean that the law is against God's promise? No, not at all. For mankind had received a law that could bring life, then everything could be put right with God by obeying it. But the scriptures say that the whole world is under the power of sin. And so the gift, which is promised on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ, is given to those who believe. But before the time for faith came, the law kept us all locked up as prisoners until the coming faith should be revealed. And so the law was in charge of us until Christ came, in order that we might then be put right with God through the faith. Now that the time for faith is here, the law is no longer in charge of us. It is all through the faith that all of you are God's sons in union with Christ Jesus. You were baptized into the union with Christ, and now you are clothed, so that speak, which the life of Christ himself, so there is no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Jews and the Gentiles, between slaves and free men, between men and women. You are all one in the union with Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are a descendant of Abraham and will receive what God has promised. I'm going to stop right there.
Uh-huh.
That right there is kind of kicking in where we are with sin. You know, when you're in with Christ Jesus, you know, all that is being cleansed and staying in that union with Christ Jesus. And I'm gonna hand the rest of this over to you, Robert, right quick.
Well, you know, what you just read to everyone, Stan, it explains how sin was actually exposed by the law. The law gave strength to sin, and it revealed it in the lives of mankind. That was one of the purposes for giving the law, because man thought in his own ability he could do things religiously to make things right with God because of the fall of man. But Jeremiah makes a pretty strong statement in chapter 10, verse 23. He says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Man cannot save himself, and all the attempts and tries to do so always fail. The reason why the law was handed down in the first place was because the children of Israel made this comment to Moses in Exodus chapter 18. Moses goes before the Lord, and the Lord tells Moses that he wants to honor the covenant that he established with Abraham in the children of Israel's life. He was actually already doing it in Egypt and leading them out into the wilderness to the promised land. But they made this comment in arrogance and pride that they could live whatever set of standards Father gave them, and it was in arrogance that they stated it, so he then handed down the law to them to reveal to them that they could not. It was not within them to save themselves. They needed a Savior. And the law was temporary, a temporary schoolmaster, just to get us to Jesus, to point us to the Savior, so that we could then receive him and then all of our sin be blotted out, wiped out. The law could never save. It could never do
Amen.
What Jesus has done for us.
Amen.
The
law was designed for when Adam and Eve was thrown out of the garden and through Moses and all that. It was designed to show us where we was lacking. As regular
exactly.
human beings, where we was lacking, it was impossible for us to be in union with God without Jesus. And that law was always there to remind us, without God, we was nothing. We was created to be in union with God. And every time that we saw that law and we saw our lives, we know we was lacking something until, you know, Jesus came on the scene. And he was the new Adam there to bind that connection where we was lacking, that the law was showing us that we had no way without him. And that's where the law came in. And a lot of people, you know, to this day, they're stuck in the law. They're living in the law. And it's like everything they do, they're scared they're going to run into something. And the thing of it is, the law is supposed to lead you to Christ, not lead you away from Christ. Some people I know are so stuck in the law that it's destroying their lives to a point. They're scared of everything. They're scared to go to the wrong movies all the time. They're scared to do this. They're scared to do that. And when you're so stuck on finger pointing, then you start sinning because it's like a Russian roulette. When you're blaming one person, it kind of reflects and comes back to you, and you start doing things. And that's where the grace of God comes in, because the sin that God is reflecting us that we have, that we needed him, when he sent his son, he started to transform us where that sin starts disappearing. The Holy Spirit starts working on us to make us look more like the son. That's his whole job. But once we forget about the Son and about grace, we're stuck in the law and we're stuck in what the Jewish folks were going through. It's chaos.
Yeah,
it's chaos.
Well, you know what sin has become to most people. Most people are fixated on looking at the actual manifestations of the works of the flesh or the work of sin. They're fixated on saying, okay, this person is doing this, this person's spitting and cussing and chewing and hanging out with the others who are doing it. You know, they're pointing the finger and saying that this is sin, this is sin. Okay, yes, I totally agree that murder and lying and committing adultery and so many other things can be called sin, but where we've gone wrong is we've not dealt with the root. Every tree, every bush that is planted has to have a root system in order for it to live, or it will not produce the green leaves. It will not produce the limbs and the branches. It will not produce the fruit that we see that is a byproduct of that root system that is down in the ground. Sin has a root system that if we don't deal with the root system, we're going to continue to see these branches and these limbs with fruit bearing from them, which is contrary to the will of God. And I'd like to talk about that tonight. What sin really is. What is the nature? Where did it come from? And what is the thing that is being missed by the church, by the children of God today, that's keeping them in bondage, like you said, to the law or to the old schoolmaster, rather than them being free like Christ came to set us free? By grace, we are saved through faith. Trusting that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life is what gives us salvation. Salvation is forgiveness. It is healing. It is prosperity. It is a deliverance. It is Father reaching out to us and saying, you know what, I'm not concerned with your past. I'm concerned with your future. This is what Father's trying to get us to focus on. And if we're focused on sin, then we can't be focused on living. Father wants us to be focused on the life that Jesus has procured for the sons of God. All right, so the root of sin. When Adam failed, Adam unleashed all this garbage into the earth. The curse that came upon the earth
of sickness, disease, poverty, and lack, murdering and lying and stealing and cheating, adultery and rape and all the other bad and wicked, evil things that you could name. One of the best places to look is in Galatians chapter 5, where Paul is giving us an example in verse 19 through 21 of what the works of the flesh. These are the manifestation of sin. If you don't deal with the root, you're going to have these things happening in your life. So there's a whole list of things there that happens in the lives of people who are not spirit-led. If you back up to verse 16, Paul said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Shall not. That's emphatic. Shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because what does the Spirit produce? This produces the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is the nature of our Father, what Father created Adam to be like in the beginning. The last Adam, Jesus our Lord, he demonstrated the fruit of the Spirit. This man walked about and he refused to sin. He was tempted just like every one of us, but he made the choices that produced the glory of God and the fruit of the Spirit throughout his entire life. Anything that he did, we can do also. So how then was he successful at doing it, and then we can't be? We can be if we deal with the root of sin is the tendency that came upon mankind to do that which is contrary to his will. The curse that was unleashed upon the earth through Adam's disobedience, the attitude of Lucifer himself, that's what Adam took on. When Adam disobeyed Father, he literally severed his own head. Father represents his head as the Son of God, just like Jesus represents our head as the body of Christ. When Adam was created, Father was his head, and Adam represented his body in the earth. Well, when Adam disobeyed Father, Lucifer became his head. He handed authority of this earth over to the enemy. And upon doing so, all this garbage, sin, was unleashed upon humanity. Jesus has paid the price for you and I and all humanity to walk free from the bondage of sin. The moment you accept him, you are recreated and rebirthed into the original image that Father ordained for mankind. But there's still something missing that has to take place in our lives after we receive Christ. No, we can't do nothing to save ourselves. But our part, our reasonable service, as Paul put it, is to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Paul made some bold statements, and I would like to try to point out one of those statements that he made. I'm just going to tell you, paraphrasing. Paul literally said that he had wronged no one. Stan, tell me, what do you know about Paul's life before he was converted?
Yeah, we talked about this in the lunchroom. Yeah, Paul was a Pharisee and made it top of his case to kill Christians because he thought at the time he knew no better, but he thought Christ was a fraud and he was ready to get rid of all of his people until the time when Christ revealed himself to Paul. Then Paul fell to the ground and he was blinded until a Christian actually healed him and he gave himself over to Christ. But he was a Christian killer. If you would look in a human's eyes, how he would look at a situation, he would have no pity for that guy. Mm-hmm. A human would have no pity, but Christ did after he was out killing tons and tons of Christians by the truckloads, Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had pity for him, still had pity for him, and brought him underneath his wing.
Yes, he
now,
did.
I can show you how much our Lord has love for everybody, no matter what you did, no matter what you said, no matter what your life been through. Paul is an example of what he can do to you.
Okay, that's good. Amen. Well, 2 Corinthians, he wrote this letter somewhere around 55 to 57 A.D. Paul wrote in chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Verse 2, "Receive us. We have wronged no man, and we have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man." Wow. Is that not a bold statement? You just told us that Paul was arresting Christians, murdering Christians, and Paul did things that we know that he did, but he is saying here that he has wronged no one. What has Paul done to be able to say that he has wronged no one? Well, if you turn over to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, I can tell you what Paul did to be able to say that he has wronged no one. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Verse 14 says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Wow. There it is right there. Paul said, forgetting, verse 13, those things which are behind. What empowered him to be able to forget his past? Well,
the blood of Jesus.
Come on. The blood of Jesus has cleansed him of all unrighteousness. But there's a part of us that still has these memories that we have to deal with. Our consciousness has to be purged. It has to be cleansed and purified to be able to not remember our past to where we recall it and it slows us down or causes us to condemn ourselves and see ourselves the way we once were. The way we once were is what Jesus has delivered us from. The way we once were, no one could save themselves. No one was clean and righteous, could stand in the presence of God. No one could access Father but Jesus, because he was the only pure person on the face of the earth. We could access the relationship with Father by faith, trusting in his word. But no one could stand in his presence without the fear of death. No one could apprehend this life that Christ gives us through our acceptance of him as the gift of God who took away all our sins. Father has literally caused himself to forget our sins. Father chose to forget our sins, and he wants us to do the same. Paul has forgotten his past in the same sense, and Father wants us to do the very same thing. If you sit around thinking about sin, thinking about what you did, feeling guilty, feeling ashamed about your past, then you're hindering yourself from being able to walk in the fullness of his joy. Shame and guilt and condemnation, those things are of the devil once you come to Christ. Only the accuser of the brethren who wants you to sit around thinking about your past and how bad you were and how rotten you were Father wants you to look at yourself now the way he looks at you. And that's cleansed of all unrighteousness. He said through his prophet Micah that he will cast our sins into the sea. Into the sea. I like to say into the sea of forgetfulness. It says in Psalms 103 that as far as the east is from the west. You know that scripture over in Psalms 103?
Mm-hmm.
It says in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You see the heart of our Father? He's trying to forget the sin that was committed by Adam. And through Jesus, he established judgment for sin. He established reconciliation for humanity. He's trying to show us his mercy and his compassion, his loving kindness, which is to have fellowship and relationship with his creation. But sin, at one time, hindered him from doing that the way that he wanted to do it. And if we don't deal with the consciousness of sin, then it's going to continue to hinder the relationship, mainly because we, humans, will tend to focus on that garbage, and that garbage will eat at us and constantly eat at us rather than us walking in the liberty that Christ has given us through taking the penalty for sin upon himself. The man was beat beyond recognition for all humanity. He hung on the cross. He was whipped at the whipping post, ripped to pieces by the cat of nine tails, so that you and I could be free from the curse that had come upon the earth, and the relationship with Father's greatest creation could be restored. The ministry of reconciliation has been put into motion by Christ Jesus. And in order for us to be able to go out and help others the way that Father wants them helped, we have to be free from the consciousness of sin ourselves. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, that if you be in Christ, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. We are no longer sinners, according to Father, if you are in Christ. Sinners are people who reject Jesus. Sinners are people who refuse to accept Father's gift to repair the relationship. Those are the ones who will be rejected at the day of judgment. Those who don't accept Christ as Lord. Father's not concerned with you and I doing and slipping and missing the mark. Jesus took care of that. He has placed it into the sea of forgetfulness for a reason, because he chooses to see you and I righteous because we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. He chooses to see you and I holy and accepted in the Beloved because we accepted his gift, the only way to be restored, because we accepted his gift. So all these things I just said, I said for the purpose of trying to explain that sin has a root that has to be dealt with. And until we deal with the root of sin, Jesus has already defeated sin. But that consciousness of our past, it will haunt you until you transform and renew your mind and purge your soul the way your spirit was purged. Psalms 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, able to convert the soul. The word convert there in Hebrew is translated restore. Your soul. He wants your soul restored. Your soul is your mind, will, and your emotions. Your ability to think is where your soul It's located in your soul. So Father's trying to convert our souls or rebirth our souls just like our spirit man was rebirthed the moment we accepted Christ. And James makes a great point in James chapter 1, verse 21. James says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." Let me break that down. It means stop thinking that crazy thinking that you once thought. I'm just paraphrasing, but it's all about the way that you think. He says, "And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul." Have you ever seen a burn victim? When they take and remove skin, say, from a burn victim's leg, and they put it over a spot on the body that was burnt to try to make that skin look normal. Engrafted. The Word of God must be engrafted in our souls, in our minds, so that our minds become rebirthed just like our spirit man was rebirthed. And as your mind is rebirthed, your conscience is changed. And as your conscience is changed, you're capable of walking in the steps of Jesus and fulfilling the life that Father ordained for his sons, for his people, for his family. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God." Our confidence towards God causes our hearts to not condemn us. It's your conscience, your heart. It will not condemn you if you will take and let the engrafted word consume you the way that Father desires it consume you. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Right now we're getting ready to go into a break. We're going to play a nice song for y'all. And if anybody needs a healing prayer, I'm going to go ahead and tell the call in. It's 347-996-3615. It's 347-996-3615. If you have any situation, if you're sick, if you have family problems, anything, we will pray for. We will pray for anything that you need. We are going to ask you to check it. I am going to ask you to check it. Let us know if you're of the faith or if you're coming to the faith, or we'll kindly know where to pray and how to pray and which way to go with it. Because a lot of times the prayers goes in different ways with different people, you know, whether they're in the faith or not. But it's always good to find that out. But anyway, just go ahead and call in, and we'll be willing to pray for you. If, like I said, if you're sick, you need anything with your family or anything, just let us know, and we'll pray for it. We'll be right back.
My Savior's arms are open wide, and I fell Father now. His grace is all I need. Oh, His grace is all I need. And the chains that I was in before, well, they don't hold me anymore. His love has rescued me.
Amen, amen. That's a wonderful song there. And like I said, anybody want to call in, it's 347-996-3615. Me and Robert got stuck talking about the works of God in the side room and got kind of pushed over to the side a little bit. I thought, hey, the song's gone. You know, the song went off. We need to jump back into the show here. But welcome back, everybody. This is the Healing Light Show. We're talking about sin today. And as I told everybody, we're not pointing fingers at nobody. We're actually telling you what Christ did to sin when He came into the world, when He took it on the cross, and what happens to you when you're in sin and then you come to the Lord. And when you come to the Lord, He washes that sin away. He renews you, makes you a new man. And all the things that you've ever done is gone. So that's what we're talking about there, too. And, you know, a lot of people, when they hear people talking about sin, they're like, oh, man, here we go. They're going to tell us what we did wrong. And we all know, you know, what we did wrong. I mean, I know what I've done wrong. Everybody knows what they've done wrong. We've all been imperfect. And I think I know even Paul said in one of his letters he's talking about, he says, how many times I don't want the sin that I try to hold from sinning, I still sin. So what he plainly said was is that our nature is sin, sinful. And without Christ, we have no hope. And without His cleansing, without His blood, we have no hope. Even if we,
that's right.
even if the Jewish people or the Jews wanted to walk without sin, they couldn't. They had to. They still had were running into sin, and they had sacrifices and all that stuff. And the sacrifices still didn't satisfy God to a certain percent there. Only one thing could satisfy God, and that was Christ. That's the only way it could satisfy Him. But still, they, you know, everything that they tried to do to cover up their sin, it didn't do no good. Even Jesus was looking at the Pharisees. He said, y'all talk clean, but in your heart, it's like dirt. It's like darkness dirt inside of you. So no matter what kind of persona that you're putting on when you're walking around with a smile on your face and talking Christian, you still got darkness inside of you. Christ ain't entered inside of you to help start cleaning that out.
Yeah.
It takes Jesus Christ, an actual real Christian that's really received Jesus and really have him working. And I'm going to tell you this, you know, everybody's going to make mistakes. Everybody's going to come to that damn point. But the thing of it is, Jesus is making you a new man. He's making you a new man. What you did today, you asked for forgiveness, I'll say thousands of years ago, you had to kill a couple of animals. Now all they just say, you know, Lord, please take this from me. I repent of this. Please take this from me. Help me from this. It's a done deal.
Yeah.
All that you have to say when the cross is in your life, it's a done deal. And he tries to help transform you. And, I mean, there's a lot of people that they walk in this persona that they'll never be forgiven. Even Christians that own up and say that they've received God, that God came into their life, they're stuck into the law, they're living day to day watching everything they do, but they forget that the Lord has died for that. Anything that they will do, he died for that too. He died for your whole eternity. He died for that.
Amen.
And people forget him. And if he died from day to day for each little thing he did, wouldn't he have wasted his time? Well, I've got to die again because he just sinned again. Come on, let's get back on the cross again, everybody. You know?
Come on.
That would be kind of ridiculous. You know, he had to get on the cross every 5 seconds for all the people's Christians, for all the sins they've done.
That's
so,
right.
It'd be kind of ridiculous. He had to die for them all, once and for all. It all had to be demolished then.
That's
and
right.
People don't understand that. They, you know, when you ask for forgiveness, he's so easy to forget about it because he's already did it.
Mm-hmm.
He's already did it.
That's
if
right.
You're asking for something. See, a lot of times, the asking is to satisfy your human heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's to satisfy you. Because when Christ came in your life, he's already satisfied the Father. That's already done. It's already done. But asking him is satisfying you as a human, as a judging human, that's satisfying you. And me and Robert was in the side room. I was talking about healings. Why I asked some Christians to ask for forgiveness for what they've done, because during a healing, there was walls that a human can put up to keep from God working in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And until that wall comes down, God can't do nothing because you ain't allowed him to.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, hold up. I talked to Johnny Bad last week. God ain't going to like that one. He ain't going to pray. He ain't going to let my leg get healed. But God's already on board to heal your leg. It's just you're putting up that unforgiveness and that stuff up where he can't. It's like you're putting a picture of Johnny right there, no, because I did this. And God is going by your free will. He's like, okay, I will not heal you. If you think that, I will not go ahead and do that. Even though he's going to die for that. He already paid a price for that letting him be here. But you're saying you don't want it because you think it's the only thing. All thing you got to do is hand it to Jesus. He took that. He took it 2,000 years, and he took it for you. Say, Jesus, here it is. He's like, thank you. I'll take this and demolish, let be healed. That's how quick it is. But he could say, let be healed anyway if you just open your consciousness up and know that Jesus loves you no matter what because he paid for this.
Yes. Amen.
He already paid for that.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the problem with Christians today, all of our doubt is what turns us back into the old man.
Yeah. God,
all of our doubt
good.
Is what turns us into the old sinful man again. All of our doubt.
Yes.
Well, this is not right. That's not right. Instead of looking at the new man that we are, what you think about is what you're going to create in this body. And I was talking to my wife today. She's talking about, she's telling me, she said, well, Stan, she said, I'm not as sick as I used to be. And she said, well, I sit around and say, I refuse to be sick. I refuse for this sickness to come on me. She said, Stan, why is this going on? I said, stay tested. Mm-hmm. There's one reason why this is going on. You have learnt your authority in Christ, and everything has to bow to your authority through Jesus Christ because he gave you that authority.
Amen.
When you say sickness, you cannot. When you say sickness, you cannot come near me. They have to obey to that authority because Jesus gave you that authority.
Amen.
That's why she's not. That's why she's not getting sick like that anymore.
That's
because
right.
Satan has to bow to your authority.
That's right.
Some of the authority that everybody on this show, everybody's listening, has this authority when you're in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, brother and sister, if you're not in Jesus Christ, you have nothing.
That's right.
You're so low down the totem pole that even Satan has more ability than you have.
That's right.
If you have not received Christ, even Satan has more ability than you have.
He's their father.
He is your father. The guy that's going to burn eternity in the lake of fire is your father, and you've not accepted Christ, and you're saying you want to stay there. But do you want to go with the Son of God that wants to give you forever life in eternity, a paradise? He loves you so much. He weeps for every minute that you're falling away from. He loves you that much. And I'm going to tell you something else that the Lord showed me this week, and I've not even said one word about it. And about the Tony Stewart and that young guy that he ran over, it was in the news here recently. And I was thinking about the situation, about that young guy and Tony Stewart, and I was thinking, well, these here are just NASCAR drivers. It's just another news story, and let it go. You know, it's just that. And all of a sudden, the Lord put in my heart the pain of this young fellow's family. I don't know whether he has a wife, kids, or anything. But I do know he has a family, and I felt the pain, and the pain was outrageous. I just felt it. It's just like it hit me, and I was like, man, this is serious. This is serious. And then my heart went out to that family, and I really tell everybody, you know, for the Tony Stewart and the young guy, I can't think of his name right now. But anyway, pray for that situation for these people. They need your prayer. They need your love. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people think this is going to be swept under the rug. I don't think it's going to be swept under the rug. I think it's going to be more to it. It's going to be dealt with in a correct manner. And I think it's going to be dealt with right. But I do ask everybody to pray for this situation. Pray for these people's families because they need you desperately now. And it's just something like that. When Jesus put that in my heart of what it felt like, that was telling me that he's feeling everybody's hearts. He's feeling everything that you're going through. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. He's feeling your hurt. He's feeling your pain. You don't recognize that, but he showed me when you enter into a bond with Christ, he has the way of revealing that to you. He'll let you feel what he feels. He'll let you feel his joy. He'll let you feel his love. Once you build that connection, that bond with him, he loves doing that. And you know, you'll find God, he'll be bonding with you more often. And I'm going to tell you, it's amazing because the kingdom is open to you. You have angelic visits. You have the Holy Spirit communicating with you. He'll communicate in any way, shape, or form. I mean, it's amazing once you start getting into the kingdom. And it kind of blows your mind of what the Lord can do through you. And the thing of it is, you have no idea what's going to happen. I never know what's going to happen when the Lord uses me. I mean, I have no split idea. I mean, and I don't know whether I put this in the video I put on Facebook or not, but, I mean, my church is the world. Everywhere I walk is my church. And a lot of people think the church is a building, you know, the building of the church. That is not the church. You are the church. Your body is housing. Your body is housing the Holy Spirit. Your body is the fortress for the Holy Spirit, which is the church. He wasn't. Now they did create churches back in the New Testament, and that was just to build the Christian congregation and all that, but to get more people in Christianity. But the main focus was the church, the man that is withholding the Holy Spirit. See, way before Jesus, that didn't exist. They had temples, and you had to go and have offerings and all that. But no, When Jesus died and gave his Holy Spirit to you, you became the church.
Amen.
And that puts you high on the totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
That puts you one with Christ.
Yes.
It
yes.
puts you one with Christ. Puts you one with
Amen.
Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that God sees on his Son, he sees on you.
Yes, amen. That's good.
You don't, people don't see that. See, they still walking in this old sin that the Jewish people walk in. And you can if you want to, but I enjoy the grace, man. I just got to get down to it. I enjoy the grace. I enjoy Jesus,
mm-hmm.
man.
Amen.
I want to walk with what he did for me. I want to walk with what he gives me.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Hey, stand
and that,
over and go ahead.
Go ahead, man.
I just wanted to add something to what you just said. It goes right along with what we were talking about earlier, how that we can get to where this, what you just said, becomes reality to people. We have to realize, like you said, that the Holy Ghost is inside of us. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us when we accept Christ. What is the Holy Spirit? Man was not created to sin. Man was created to house the Holy Spirit, to house Father's glory. The Holy Spirit is Father's glory. And when we are housing the glory of our Father, it says in Jude verse 24, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The Holy Spirit is able to keep you from falling. I want you to take something, like, say, put a 25-cent piece in your hand and then cup your hands over top of that quarter and just shake it up and down in your hand. If there's nowhere for that quarter to come out, that quarter is going to stay in between your cupped hands. Is that not correct?
Correct. Right.
That's what's happening when you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is positive, and he points you to the righteousness of God. He points you to what is truth and the will and the plan of the Father. The Holy Spirit will keep you from falling. He will keep your footsteps in line so that you don't do what's contrary to Father's will. And you have to stop focusing on your past and your imperfections and focus on his perfection. He is perfecting us from the inside out as we yield ourselves unto God. Submit yourself unto God, James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself to literally entwine your life in his like you would braid a rope, cords together to make a rope. Submit yourself. Take and allow his desire, his will to become number one to you. Put God first. And as you put God first, the Holy Spirit will constantly lead you and speak with you and tell you what you need to know and what you need to do so that you can fulfill Father's glory and Father's will. One of my employees today made a comment that I thought was so awesomely beautiful about the Lord. We've been talking about how Father delights in seeing himself, and he said, Father is a seeker who is obsessed with his own image. He loves looking for himself in us, in you and me. Sons of God, he's looking for himself. He created us for the purpose of being able to see himself in a physical form, having a family to relate to. But you can't experience that life if you're sitting around focused on sin. Amen?
Amen. Amen to that. I mean, the more you focus on the kingdom of heaven, the more you become, you start becoming and running into the kingdom of heaven. The more you focus
Amen.
On hell, the more you start running into hell. So
that's right.
I mean, that's a real crazy subject because, you know, there's a lot of us that walks in the fire, we like to do deliverance. you to deliver mm-hmm. people from demonic stuff. But the thing of it is, it focuses you on the enemy some, and it's not good. You want to focus
That's right.
on God, but then you got to focus on the bad side every once in a while when you're doing healing. But
yes, but
you can't stay there. You got to stay with God. You got to think about the presence He has for you, the love He has for you.
Yes.
And I know way back that I got to a point where, you know, I got like some other Christians. I was falling down. Well, you know, God ain't gonna like me because I did that, or I said this wrong, this and that. But the whole time, Jesus came to me and said, "I love you no matter what."
That's
and then
right.
He talking about a weight that came off my shoulders was like, you know, train. It just came off of my back. I mean, it was like tremendously. And it don't give you the right to do anything you want to. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that He does forgive you, and He does love you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's awesome. He's got awesome love for you. And that's just one thing I want to put out there. But
amen.
We've only got 3 minutes, and I'm going to go ahead and pray for a few people here. I don't really got anybody called in, but I am going to pray for everybody here on the cast at this time. Lord Heavenly Father, I ask you to come upon us now. Everybody's listening to this podcast. Everybody's listening to it live now. In Jesus' name, Father, I want to thank you for these people. I want to thank you for our homes, our houses. I want to thank you for the groceries you bring in our homes. I want to thank you for our jobs. I want to thank you for our families, our children. I want to thank you for all the relatives we have. I want to thank you for our cars. I want to thank you for everything that you blessed us with. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for putting this in our lives and enriching our lives with the things you bless us with. And I want to thank you for these people that you got bringing to our radio station listening to the word through us. And I want to thank you for using us as your instruments to talk to these people. I want to thank you so much, Father. And at this time, the Father, Lord Jesus, is showing me somebody's feet is giving them problems. I don't know whether it's bones or something's going on. In Jesus' name, that is healed now. All the bones in the foot is transformed in Jesus' name. All the skin is repaired. Toenails is repaired. Everything is healed now in Jesus' name. There's an arm that needs to be healed. It's the upper arm, I think. I'm not sure. It's the upper part of the arm. It's being healed now in Jesus' name. I command all muscles to be repaired, all skin tissue to be repaired, all tendons to be repaired now in Jesus' name. I'm hearing arthritis. Somebody's having arthritis in the knees, and I curse that arthritis at the seed and at the root, and I command it to leave the knees now. I command the cartilage in the knee to be repaired. I command the joints to be repaired now in Jesus' name. Command the Holy Spirit to go over that knee and repair it now in Jesus' name. I command any old memories of any old accidents to be deleted now in Jesus' name. I command the Holy Spirit to go and repair that thing. I command the enemy to break loose, the spirit of arthritis to break loose. I curse that root and at the seed. I bind it with metal chains, and I command it to go back to the abyss where it came from now in Jesus' name. I command all illnesses to all the people out here to listen. I command all illnesses to leave. I bind them. I curse them. I rebuke them. I command them to leave off of their bodies now. I command the headache to leave. I command the toothache to break loose. I command the pain to leave now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, go through that mouth and repair them teeth. Now in Jesus' name, I command that heartbreak to be repaired. I command the love of the Father to come upon that person now and repair that heart, the stomach condition to be healed now in Jesus' name, heal the large intestines, small intestines, the ovaries, everything, command all be repaired now in Jesus' name. I command all muscles to be repaired, all pains to be gone now in Jesus' name. The authority of King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, in His name, all of that to be repaired now. Command it to be healed now in Jesus' name. I want to thank everybody for coming to the show today and listening. We're going to be back Saturday morning at 10 a.m. It's going to be me and Jacob Phillips. And I hope to hear to have y'all to broadcast in. We might be talking about Jamaica. The Holy Spirit hit Jamaica. I had a friend. They took a mission trip to Jamaica, and I'm trying to get them on for the Saturday show. So hopefully we'll be talking about Jamaica. And I hope y'all, you know, tune in and listen to it. God bless you, and may his hands stay on y'all. God bless you, and we'll see you Saturday.
Good night.